Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama. Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road.
Good morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio.
Friday. Something better than a Friday on a short week. It's all
it's
coming
like
together.
It's like a high school senior or
I
something,
know,
and you're
every,
like, this is the last day of school.
Exactly.
Yeah!
Well,
stick it to
good.
The man!
You know, you got to be happy about small things in life, and getting 2 days to spend time.
But your whole focus is on Friday. Like, Monday, you're like, ugh, it's the farthest away from Friday. Tuesday, at least I'm a little bit closer to Friday. Oh, Wednesday, hump day, Thursday, it's Friday Eve.
This, see,
and then
this
when
is
it's Friday, it's
think.
Like, yes!
This is how
you have to have something else!
I did. I had a pleasant week this week, so that's there's that.
There's that.
Uh-huh.
Today, we commemorate, it's a somewhat obscure saint, I think, on the general calendar, St. Augustine Zhao Rong. He was a Chinese diocesan priest back in, well, late 18th century. So.
Does he have companions?
Oh, yes.
Oh, see?
119.
Exactly. You could get on that train,
but
Todd.
listen to this. The story goes, okay, mm-hmm. So he was the priest, so he's the one mentioned.
Right.
But there was an 18-year-old boy, and I'm probably butchering his name, Qi Zuzi, who they were, it was terrible, y'all. You can read the account. If you look up St. Augustine Zhao Rong, the account was horrible of how they martyred these people.
Oh.
Granted, martyrdom, I guess, was rough, but but they did it in a way that was really brutal. So at one point in time, they actually cut off this guy's arm. He's 18. And he cries out, every piece of my flesh, every drop of my blood will tell you that I am Christian.
Hmm.
And it gives me chills because I'm thinking we need to witness our faith to the world. People need to know that this is everything that we are. Every piece of my flesh, every drop of my blood will tell you that I am Christian. And we need to witness that.
I think we need to pray today and ask for their intercession for Christians in China.
Amen.
That would be ideal. And there's who knows what kind of level of persecution going on over there, but it's not good either. So
Amen.
We pray for them.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. O God, who in your wonderful providence have strengthened your church through the confession of the martyrs, St. Augustine Zhao and his companions. Grant that your people, faithful to the mission entrusted to it, may enjoy ever greater freedom and witness to the truth before the world through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Coles Murphy Glover & Associates. They're an engineering firm offering plant design and layout for churches, schools, shipyards, material handling facilities, and more. Call CMG&A at 251-433-1611 or go to cmg-a.com.
And here are your news headlines for Friday, July 9th, 2021. 17 suspects have been detained so far in the assassination of Haiti's president. And Haitian authorities say two hold U.S. Haitian dual citizenship. And Colombia's government says at least six are former military members of its army. President Jovenel Moïse was killed in his home before dawn on Wednesday. Severe weather and flash flooding hit New York City, leaving motorists stranded in water and subway stations submerged. Shocking video emerged on social media this morning showing New Yorkers wading through filthy waste street water in order to catch a train.
Ooh.
Yes. On Sunday, Richard Branson will be aboard the company's passenger rocket plane, the VSS Unity, on its first fully crewed test flight to the edge of space. The British billionaire founder is among six individuals strapping in for the ride. The flight will last 90 minutes and it will end where it began on a runway at Spaceport America.
Ground control to Major Tom.
It also gives Branson bragging rights of besting rival Jeff Bezos into space. In sports, the Phoenix Suns take a 2-0 lead in NBA Finals against Milwaukee. And all eyes are on England this weekend as Wimbledon Finals and the Euro Cup Final take place. Italy versus England. All that's happening in London and the suburbs. In weather, highs near 85, about 25% chance of rain this weekend.
There you go.
That's it.
Sounds good.
It's going to be a good weekend.
We always look forward to Friday mornings when the media czar, Tom McDonald, comes on to speak about all things media. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we hung out a little bit last night, huh?
Yeah, you know, that has not happened often lately, ever since before the pandemic, what with movie theaters being shut down for much of that time and a whole lot of movies being delayed forever. It was nice to finally get back. It was the first theater experience since before COVID that felt halfway normal to me.
And what was amazing is I didn't have any of my children, just my wife and I were there, but we still took up the entire row, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, because I brought all my kids, and the other folks we were with brought all their kids, and it was, you know, and there were other people in the theater. You know, I've been to the theater a few times since the start of the pandemic, and it was an eerie, lonely feeling each of those times. But this time there was, a healthy number of people there in that theater. So, I think we finally have turned the corner and to be back to a regular theater going experience at this point. If you've been holding out, not going, it's just like it was before. So,
popcorn and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now this movie, yep. Black Widow, it got pushed off several times, correct?
Yeah, you know, at this point, it almost feels like they could make a movie about this movie being delayed. if you go way, way back, this is, of course, the latest entry in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's been, you know, before COVID, Disney and Marvel were cranking these movies out on a very regular, methodical schedule. And they would have these big announcement events with the press where they would unveil, you know, they have their movies divided into phases, and they would reveal every movie coming out in phase three, and they would have the whole list of movies and the dates they were coming out, and it's just like this well-oiled Marvel machine at this point. Well, then COVID messed all of that up, really threw off the timing and created a ripple effect in these films. Originally, this film was supposed to be released in May of 2020, so over a year ago.
Wow.
And, of course, because of the pandemic, it was delayed. And so the movie was delayed to November 6th of 2020. And what they did was they took all, it was a domino effect, they took all the upcoming Marvel films, and they just shifted them all over by one release date. So the November date was supposed to be for the next Marvel movie. Well, they just pushed them all back one. Well, then it became obvious that November date in theaters wasn't going to work. So it was bumped again to May of 2021. And as that date started getting closer, the decision was made to bump it one more time to today, July 9th, 2021. And part of the big debate was whether, you know, as some movies threw in the towel and were just released on streaming services, would Disney be willing to do that with their biggest property, a Marvel film? Would they bump a Marvel film for direct release on Disney Plus? And it was communicated very early on that that was not going to happen. They were not going to release this film just on Disney Plus. This was going to be a theatrical release. So then the question was, well, would it be a simultaneous release? Would they release it in theaters and on Disney Plus for a premium fee at the same time, as Disney has done with a couple other of their movies, this simultaneous release situation? And for the longest time, the press was told, no, we're not going to do that. This is going to be just a theatrical release. They were adamant that this was the kind of film that was going to be only in theaters. And here at the kind of the last minute, they caved and decided to release it simultaneously, both in theaters and on Disney Plus. So if you are a Disney Plus subscriber, you don't have to go to the theater. You can watch this on Disney Plus, but it comes with an additional fee of $30 to watch the film at home.
Whoa.
Yeah. I guess if you have 10 people in the room.
It's kind of like, you know, when people would order a boxing match by pay-per-view, you know, that costs like $100 and make sure you have a giant party and everybody chips in to watch it to defray the cost. You know, you could do that. Well, what it cost me to bring my family to see this film, ticket-wise, was right around that same amount of money. So it we could have gone either way. But it's just going to be really interesting to see the breakdown of, if these numbers ever get released, of who went to the theater to see this versus how many people stayed home to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be really curious. But I have a feeling we're not ever going to see those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
but in addition to that, the other delay on this film was having it be made at all. You know, all of the original Avengers team had not only their own movies, but sequels to those movies. Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, the Hulk had movies prior to the whole Marvel Universe, so, and there's whole rights issues involved with the Hulk, which is why there hasn't been a standalone Hulk movie with Mark Ruffalo, but he's shown up in other movies. So people were wondering, you know, the buzz started to be, you know, wait a minute, there's this character Black Widow, who was originally the only female Avenger, hasn't gotten her own movie. What is the deal here? And there was some murmuring about, you know, women getting short shrift in the Marvel Universe because these are all such male-centric movies. Then finally, the Captain Marvel movie was released, who was a female hero, but still people were buzzing saying, well, okay, so you release a movie about a female hero, but not the one that you introduced way back when. Black Widow is still kind of on the sidelines as a side character we don't know much about. How come she's not getting her own movie? So finally, it was announced that she would be getting her own film. And, ironically, after her character, and this is, you know, spoiler alert, but at this point, it's your own fault if you haven't seen these films. you know, her character was killed in Avengers Endgame. And so people are like, well, how's this going to work? You killed the character, and now you're going to give her her own movie? That seems a little late. But it was announced that this movie would be a prequel. And where it takes place is in between Captain America Civil War and Avengers Infinity War. That's where they wedge this story in between as kind of a prequel. So we know that going into the film. So, you know, a lot of my... this is a long-winded way of saying that there's a lot of anticipation for this film on many levels, release date and development in itself, and one wonders if it could hold up to those expectations after such a long wait. So my synopsis is that without... I don't want to get too much into the plot because it's the nature of the film is this kind of a spy movie, and it's... it would take away from the experience to say too much about the plot. So I'll kind of talk around it and say that my expectations for this film going in were low, and I'm happy to say that it very clearly exceeded my expectations. My expectations were low because it was a prequel, and I felt like there's a limited story that they could tell here. Having said that, this was a refreshing twist, I thought, on the Marvel formula, in that this film is very much more character-driven. We're introduced to several new characters we've never met before, who are in some fashion the Black Widow or Natasha's family. And we learn, it is not an origin story film. but it does fill in the gaps of her origin. It gives, the film gives a lot of room to the relationships to breathe and to fill out. There are big chunks of this film that are not action-oriented, and I say that as, I think, a good thing. And you really, you know, this character has been sort of a sidebar character for so many movies, finally gets a chance to be fully fleshed out as a real human being with a real past. And you get several movies worth of character development in one movie. Now, that's both good and bad. They might be trying. It would have been nice if they could have taken two or three films to develop all this. But they do it in one, and I think they do it pretty effectively. There's humor in the film. There are great performances. Florence Pugh, who plays, you know, her quote-unquote sister in the film, does a fantastic job, and I would say she's actually the strongest part of the movie. And David Harbour and Rachel Weisz do a fantastic job as well. There's a couple of great villains in the film. And it really, it's kind of, if you want to know what genre it is, it's a little bit Jason Bourne. So if you like the Bourne films, you might like this movie. There is good action, but it's not an overwhelming amount of action. You know, it is not all explosions and gunfire. There is a lot of other stuff going on here. And it feels like, it doesn't feel like it's shoehorned in. It feels like it fits. Like, it feels like it makes sense where they place it on the timeline. And I left very, very satisfied with this movie.
Angèle, as you know, is not a big Marvel Universe individual. And she came just out of her kindness of wanting to, you know, do something with her husband. But she left. I asked her, I said, how was it? Now, she's not like Ellen level
comic book movie.
Okay, whatever. But she was like, she wasn't expecting much, Tom, and she enjoyed it. She enjoyed the film. She said she wasn't too lost. She had a couple questions, you know, cause she joked beforehand that she didn't know Black Widow was a woman. That's how much, you know, she didn't know going into this. But she said it was very entertaining. It, you know, the characterization, just as you said, Florence Pugh, she said kind of stole it. But it was an excellent film all the way around.
Yeah, my family liked it. My older daughter, Emma, really enjoyed it. My wife, Caroline, really enjoyed it. And, I feel like, you know, some people complained about the female-led Captain Marvel movie as being sort of, it felt forced, like, okay, here's your female hero, and here's the feminist agenda. And it was just kind of a little more in your face with that. The whole movie felt sort of defensive. Whereas this film, because this character's been around so long, this felt very organic and very, very much like, it made sense in the flow of this series. So, and also I will say the plot is very timely. The plot, you know, we hear a lot about human trafficking and what a terrible problem that is, but we also don't hear a lot about it. You know, it's not as big of a news story as it ought to be, but human trafficking of young women is a huge problem on this planet and even in this country. And this film, while it's not about that directly, the plot line very much is sort of a metaphor or a veiled reference to that. And I think done very effectively, okay? Because that's what I thought of while I was watching this movie. And I think that was done intentionally, but it's done in a way that makes a tremendous amount of sense. So, I think I give credit to Marvel for once again, this is their 24th film in this series. They keep reinventing the genre. I mean, there's a lot of familiar beats in it, but it's, you know, they do different styles of film within this series. Mm-hmm. And I think they've accomplished that yet again with this movie. And if you're wondering about family appropriateness, there is some, you know, kind of cringeworthy violence in it. I mean, there's some physical fighting and, you know, things like that are a little tough, a little intense for a younger kid. And there's a little bit of crude language, nothing too horrendous. but it's, you know, there's a little bit of crude language and, you know, some hard-hitting of violence. I mean, it's not too bloody or anything, but it's just kind of like, you go, ouch, when you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, I wouldn't have any family concerns. So if you have kids who've seen, like, every Marvel movie, this would fall right in line with them, I would say.
Yeah, it is PG-13, and I'll tell you that my 10-year-old would have not done well watching this film. It would have been too much for him, so you have to kind of look at it on an individual basis. What are they coming out with? What are they coming out with next, Tom?
Next in this series will be Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu, which comes out in September.
So they pressed the release. Dear God, it's endless. Okay. It goes on and
Ellen,
on.
Ellen, your face. Your face was awesome. Wait, say it again, Tom. Say it again. I want to see this face.
Just like
Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu.
Yes!
Oh, I'm putting that in my calendar.
You just don't understand.
I'm waiting for this whole Marvel.
I don't know who Shang-Chi is.
To pass.
I saw that preview, and I'm like, I am definitely coming to the theater to see that.
Tom, you have a great weekend.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
Got time to watch the other 23 movies there on the video.
You don't understand.
I don't, and that's never going to. Jim
Papandrea.
He's got an original church series on YouTube. We're going to talk to him next on LA Catholic Morning. Pen snobbist.
I am.
A pen snobbist.
Because I'm
a
left-handed.
Oh, here
it's
we go.
Important.
I have to have
These
special
are expensive pens.
I'm a southpaw, too.
They're fast-drying ink.
I just like
just because you like to use it, it's for left-handed people. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Arkansas
Radio. We almost
Radio.
Had a pen emergency.
Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor, who, just called me a pen snob. Mike the Great and the Ripster over there. On the line, we have Jim Papandrea, who is a professor of church history and historical theology at Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary in Evanston, Illinois, here to speak to us about his YouTube series, Original Church. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Great.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you teach church history there at the seminary, correct?
That's right. I teach the primarily the early church, but also some into the medieval period.
And so when did you start this YouTube series?
Actually, only about a month ago. I had the idea for a long time, and it was actually kind of fighting it in my mind. Should I do it? Should I not do it? How would I do it? And eventually it just got to the point where I couldn't not do it anymore, and I jumped in and got about 12 videos up so far, with more coming every week.
Okay, so talk to us about it. Like, if we go and watch some of these videos, what are we going to be learning?
Right, well, you know, the concept of the original church actually goes all the way back to when I was raised in the Protestant world. I'm I guess you'd call a revert to the Catholic Church, right? I was baptized Catholic, but now I'm back. But when I was being raised in the Protestant world, one of the things they told me was that the Protestant Reformation was all about getting back to original Christianity, that somehow there was this pre-Catholic, pristine version of Christianity that existed before the Catholics added stuff and ruined it all. And, of course, when I did the work myself and looked into it and learned about it, I found out that's not true. There is no such thing as pre-Catholic Christianity. And so I decided to do this series called The Original Church to tell people what original Christianity was. What was the early church like? And sort of debunk this myth of a sort of stripped down, pristine version of Christianity that maybe didn't have sacraments and didn't have, you know, all the things that we think of as Catholic.
And I hope you don't mind, this is not a criticism, but like, you have some other videos of some of your lectures on YouTube, because I was doing a dive in on your some of your stuff. And I'll tell you, as someone who's got ADHD, when you've got a lecture that's over an hour long, Jim,
you're lost.
I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to commit to this. But your this new series, they're right around, you know, 15 minutes or less, right?
That's right. They're all under 15 minutes with the exception of a couple of side conversations. But yeah, the idea is they're all under 15 minutes. I was actually going to redo all my lectures because the hour and 15 minute lectures are there from when I first started teaching online, and I'm teaching online again, and I was going to redo all my lectures, and I thought, what am I doing? Nobody wants to watch. Nobody wants to spend over an hour doing, you know. So I figured out a way to do it in little bits based on questions that people want to know. Like, you know, did the original church really read the Bible literally like some of the Protestants want to tell us? Did the original church pray repeated prayers? Like the Hail Mary, of course, is a little bit later, but they did pray repeated prayers. And so it's all based on these questions that would interest people in bite-sized chunks.
So that's the series. So, the number of episodes you have now, do they go like in a chronological order, or is it just by topic that you've chosen and then you dive into it?
It's basically by topic, but each one builds on the previous ones. So there are certain topics that I think to myself, oh, well, I can't make that video until I've made these other two videos to set people up for that. So it is better if people watch them in order, but you don't have to. I mean, it's very topical, and you can just dive into whatever question interests you.
Do you mind if I take a little sidetrack here, Jim, because I'm fascinated by your story. Can you just give us the highlights of how then did you come back? I mean, you were getting your PhD from a Protestant seminary. I mean, like, how did you come back to the church?
That's right. Well, you know, I went to a Protestant seminary for my master's degree, and I was really sort of surprised by the amount of arguing between Protestants about things, you know, even just interpretation of biblical texts. And one of the things I realized that going to this Protestant seminary, I did not get a really solid grounding in the church fathers, and I felt like I was missing the early church, and I thought, wow, you know, if there's all these arguments over how to interpret the Bible, you know, shouldn't we be looking to the earliest Christians to see how they did it? And so I got my PhD in patristics, which is the study of the early church and the church fathers, and by the time I was done with that PhD, I was well on my way to coming back to the Catholic Church.
Okay, but then how did that work? That had to rock your world, because I'm sure you were getting your degree with a mission, right? I mean, what were you planning on doing with getting that advanced degree?
Well, I went into the PhD because, you know, after my MDiv, my master's degree, I had gone into ministry because I didn't know what else to do with that degree. I had become a full-time pastor in a Protestant denomination, and it burned me out real quick, and I discerned that, hey, you know what, this is not my calling. Even if I were Catholic, I mean, I'm Catholic now, but even now, being clergy would not be my calling. My calling, I realized, is to the classroom. So I went back to get my PhD to teach, and I really was ready to teach, you know, whatever the church fathers told me, basically. And since I'm Italian, my dad's family is Catholic anyway, so I was never anti-Catholic. So it wasn't as hard of a transition as you might think. By the time I was done with the PhD, I was all in.
Wow. Mm-hmm. See, that is fascinating to me, because I've had friends that are in those same situations, and they'll say to me, Jim, they'll say, Todd, listen, I don't want to talk about theology. I don't really want to go. I mean, these guys have advanced degrees in theology, but they're like, I don't want to talk about it because
that's work talk, though.
Well,
Todd.
It's not that. They're scared because their whole careers are set before them.
Right.
And becoming Catholic, then they say, well, I'm married, I've got kids, I can't become a priest. So they're like, then what do I do? Now, granted, you are teaching, but it fascinates me as a Catholic. You're teaching at a seminary of our separated brethren. Jim, that's amazing.
That's right. Well, it is a mission field, but you know, my colleagues are actually great there, and you know, it's a very ecumenical place, and one of the things I get to do is bring my Protestant students with me on a pilgrimage to Rome and really explore the early and medieval church on site, and it becomes a real bridge-building experience.
I would just think that sometimes the light would go on. They'd be like, well, wait a minute.
Well, I think, Todd, that circles back to your other comment is is they're on a track to, at this higher level of studying at a Protestant seminary for some sort of ministry track. So it takes a certain amount of courage or discernment or stepping forward in faith. And I know Marcus Grodi has that coming home ministry where he helps a lot of particularly Protestant pastors or people in ministry that are feeling that tugging of their heart on Catholicism and what to do, where to go next. So I imagine that's a challenge.
Yeah, and you know, at the very least, what I get to do is, you know, debunk a lot of these myths about Catholicism so that the Protestant students come out with a greater respect for the Catholic Church and a greater willingness to work with their Catholic neighbors when they get into their ministry, and they can work together to, you know, feed the hungry and take care of the homeless and you know, get involved in those works of mercy.
How has it been received? I mean, hopefully you're not getting any, like, angry comments or anything like that.
Not too much. I mean, you know, every once in a while I'll get an email from an alumnus or something saying, wait, what were you talking about in that lecture? But I think, you know, my colleagues get where I'm coming from. And now, you know, don't get me wrong. They will probably teach things in their classes that contradict what I'm teaching in my class. But you know, we have a good atmosphere of academic freedom. And, you know, I mean, it's a very sort of mutually respectful environment. So at least that's good.
That's good. That sounds a lot better than Twitter some days.
When you were kind of coming back to cross the Tiber, Jim, what were some of the hurdles for you? What were some of the things where you just thought this is kind of difficult to get over?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing was the intercession of the saints, prayer to the saints. I had to really sort of figure out and study to the point where I was comfortable with the idea that it's, you know, not some form of idolatry or, you know, something like that. The idea of repeated prayers, for example, you know, the rosary. I had read these bad translations of Matthew 6:7 that say, they have Jesus saying, you know, don't use mindless repetition or meaningless repetition. And one of my videos is on this because that's not in the Greek. That's not what Jesus says. The word repetition is not in that passage at all. And so, you know, we even have to work with Bible translations that are skewed towards an anti-Catholic bias sometimes. So I was working with those kinds of things. And again, I was never anti-Catholic. But I had my reservations based on all the things the Protestants had told me about, well, you know, the Catholics added these things that aren't in the Bible, and I had to realize, wait a minute, you know, these things are all part of the original church.
Mm-hmm. It's good that that you're in a place, in a space where you're able to be also a resource where people can ask questions of you comfortably, maybe about the Catholic faith and stuff. Sometimes we see in our world that it's not asking questions from a place of understanding, rather just kind of more the tone and style is not at all in the spirit of brotherhood. So it's good to see that. And it's good to see in your videos that you kind of lay out in a very easy to follow way on understanding some of the early church fathers and what was going on in the early church. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I've learned in my teaching to be very ecumenical about it and to draw people along one step at a time without hitting them over the head with it. And so, you know, these videos are not overtly apologetic, really. They're just more sort of, you know, not coming from trying to convince anybody to do anything, but just to say, so let's talk about what the original church was really like.
Mm-hmm. When you go on these pilgrimages to Rome and Assisi, what are some of your favorite sites, being an historian?
Well, I like a lot of the most ancient churches in Rome, so these are maybe the ones that a lot of tourists don't know about, and some of them actually have archaeological you know, sites underneath them. So, for example, San Clemente, you go underneath San Clemente, and the 4th century church is there. And you go underneath that, and there's the 1st century house church is there. You go underneath St. Cecilia's, and her 3rd century house is there. And you can actually go and step into these places where Christians have been worshiping for, you know, 1,500, 1,700 years, and just to be in those places, it's literally holy ground. And so those are the kinds of things that I love in Rome, and of course also the food. And Assisi is just one of the most spiritual places I've ever been. I mean, it's hard to describe, but those people who have been there will know that there's just something about Assisi that that draws you back.
It's the most peaceful place on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that from a lot of people.
And I tried. Uh-huh. My wife has not been there, but uh-huh. I tried to get her to move there, Jim.
Of course you did.
I did.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I said we could open up a little.
I can see you coming home with that grand
store,
idea.
And then we'd live upstairs. Jim, you would understand how awesome
yeah.
this is. And you know how they put the little
oh,
placards of the languages that they speak? Whenever they put English, they're pretty much lying.
Yeah.
You know. So
you could handle English.
I would do English only. English only.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. No, I've had that dream myself. You know, like could I live in Assisi? Could that work? Mm-hmm. You know, because it is like that. You're right.
Oh, it's so great. So
oh.
great.
Well, we just keep dreaming, right?
Amen.
Jim,
thank you so much.
Oh, great talking to you, Jim.
My pleasure.
You can see his videos on YouTube on the original church, Jim Papandrea. Thanks for joining
Papandrea.
Us.
Papandrea.
Very yeah.
Yep.
See, forgot the A.
Thank you so much. It's a blessing.
Thanks,
right.
Jim.
Coming up, final segment Friday, we've got our Sunday Gospel Reflection. Deacon Bill Harkin's going to step in and join us here on LA Catholic Morning.
My heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike mm-hmm. the Great and the Ripster over there doing their thing. On the line, Deacon Bill Harkins here to share the Sunday Gospel Reflection for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Good morning, Deacon Bill.
Awesome. Good morning, buddy. How y'all doing?
Fantastic, especially now that you're on the line.
Very good.
All right, you ready to dive
ready
in?
To start?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Mark's Gospel.
Sure.
Let's go.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Okay. The Lord be with you.
And with
your
spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them the authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. No food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Well, this, of course, is not the longest gospel in the world, and Mark is really famous for his being straight to the point, but here we have Jesus. He knows he was born to die for us. His time walking on the earth, he knows, is very short. So in today's gospel, we see him setting up his apostles to be servant leaders of the Christian faithful when he departs. Like all great teachers, Jesus knows his students. Like all great leaders, he knows his people. In fact, Jesus knows us better than we do. I mean, he made us, right? He knows we're weak, sinful, sometimes hard-headed, and never perfect. We need a lot of practice and clear instruction to do our jobs well. With this in mind, Jesus sets his apostles up for success, which means he's setting us up for success too, of course. Jesus knows that the mission he will task his apostles with just before he ascends into heaven, the Great Commission, the mission that we also inherit in our own way as members of the body of Christ, is to take his gospel message to all nations, baptizing and teaching them all that he taught. This gospel today, though, describes how Jesus prepares his apostles before he tasks them with their full-blown mission. This is a vital stage in their training. Up to this point, He's taught them the basics. And now with clear directions to follow, he's sending them out for a short time to conduct a little on-the-job training. They don't yet have the full teaching of Christianity. Jesus hasn't revealed the amazing truth about his redeeming death and resurrection, about the Eucharist. They aren't ready for all that yet. So far, he's done miracles fulfilling the Jewish scriptures' prophecies, clearly proving to any who want to know that he is actually the Messiah. He's taught them about the critical role of repentance, and now he's provided them the authority and power to walk in his footsteps to bring his saving message to others. But like any great leader, he's not throwing them out in the dark without clear guidance. He trained them first by demonstrating himself how to sanctify, how to teach, how to lead. In this gospel, they follow his simple but perfect instructions. What do they learn that will provide the foundation for their work after Pentecost? Well, first, he has them practicing to work as a team. He sent them in pairs. Also, to rely on divine providence, to believe that God will touch the hearts of those they're preaching to and healing, so those people will provide for the apostles' basic needs, like food and shelter, while they're out and about conducting the Lord's work. In this way, the apostles are actually witnesses, showing everyone what a deep, abiding faith in God can accomplish. They also learn not to waste time on those who don't accept them, to walk away when they're not being listened to. We don't force our faith on others. We plant seeds that we may never even see grow ourselves until, God willing, we end up in heaven. They also learn to put into practice how to drive out demons and heal people of terrible diseases. When they do this, they get the people's attention. These miracles are designed to underline their teaching, which at this point is the critical importance of the true repentance for sins. People pay attention because their miracles give them credible authority, not as messiahs themselves, but as men that the Messiah has chosen to bring his message to the world. They also learn to use oil to heal, an early form of healing that reminds us of the sacraments, especially anointing of the sick. Do you think they were successful? Well, of course, the gospel says they were. It said they healed and drove out demons. And we know the rest of the story. They have a few more years of apprenticeship left under the master's watchful eye and his expert instruction, then a graduate-level course when Jesus wraps up their formation between the time of his resurrection and his ascension. And after these final phases of education, after the Holy Spirit comes down upon them, the apostles bring the full gospel message to everyone worldwide. And we're living proof of that. We're talking about our faith today, trying to live it as the apostles taught, as Jesus taught 2,000 years ago. We're doing this a long ways away from the Holy Land where all this started. Now, what does this mean for us today specifically? Let's absorb this gospel for a second. Let's try to put it into practice, following the example of the great men who followed Christ. Let's find lessons that apply to our lives. Use them to continue our own mission for Christ, the mission we inherit as members of the body of Christ, in the way the Lord intends for each of us, to use our God-given talents to spread Christ's message through actions and words. For instance, at work, as we have a conversation during a coffee break, or while standing in a long line to test our patience at the grocery store, or watching TV with our family, hanging out with folks at the beach that we really love, making comments on social media. Whatever we do, we need to act as Christians in every situation thrown our way. Treat others as if they're made in the image and likeness of God, because they are. And be prepared to share and defend our faith when given the opportunity. This is what the apostles did in today's gospel. It's what we're all called to do every day. We're blessed to live in the wonderful world of God's creation. When we do, we pick up the mantle passed down to us to be in our own way servant leaders among the Christian faithful, bringing others to Christ. So there we go.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I mean, it sounds great, Bill. The problem is trying to implement that in our lives. You know, as I Absolutely. Read this, and I've read so many commentaries on this, I struggle with surrendering to God's providence because, because I'm a control freak, and I, even, you know, God allowed my Achilles tendon to tear twice because he was trying to teach me a lesson. And it's hard for me to really learn that lesson and to take it to heart. Like, I remember reading a commentary because I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why no food, no sack, no money in the belt? And why only one tunic? Like, I didn't get that. And the commentary explained that meant that you wouldn't sleep outdoors. You had to depend on going into someone's home to sleep. The second tunic was so that you could sleep outdoors. And I didn't know that, you know, historically.
It's important, Todd. I mean, like for them and for you, when you had your Achilles torn, sometimes when you're in a, we'll say a vulnerable situation, you know, a lot of us, I say, this sounds sexist, I guess, but men, you know, we want to do it ourselves. But when we allow others to do things for us, we're actually letting them be that good Samaritan. So we're actually letting them be Christ for us, and maybe they become closer to Christ when they do it. So that's reinforcing what they're trying to teach out there. Yeah.
Again, that sounds great.
Yes.
Phil, that sounds wonderful, but living it out is just so hard. It's so hard. How do I do that? How do I surrender to God's providence?
Well, I'd say the first thing is to take some quiet time every day to pray and ask Him to give you situations where you should do better, because maybe sometimes you're supposed to be that Samaritan, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, certainly, and as you and I were chatting before we got on, you know, as we get older, we more and more need that help, whether we want to admit it or not, right?
Amen. Amen.
So I think that's it.
I fear, Todd, that you don't want to get another lesson like the Achilles.
I don't.
So maybe you should take to heart Deacon's, just advice on
listen,
how to
I
do that.
I hear it.
Okay,
when you say take it to heart, it's all up here in my mind. The farthest distance to get there down into my heart so that I can surrender. I understand that.
Yes.
And I recognize my faults.
Mm-hmm.
And as I try to grow in them, but it's like when I read this gospel, it's like, well, wait a minute, I don't want to be dependent. I want to plan my journey. You know, another thing that they said in the commentary, the reason why they had sandals is so you could travel farther. Like when God wants us to go farther. And it's like, okay, but sometimes I want to stop. You know, I want to rest, or I want to stay in this comfortable situation.
Right.
And then God's saying, no, get up, get up and go.
Be uncomfortable. Yeah.
That's right.
Bill.
Yeah.
This is our pilgrim journey.
I think some of us, too, the challenge is shaking the dust off those that don't want to hear the message, especially people we care about.
Yeah.
Want to keep pounding that message in. Well, they just don't get it. So I think that's hard for a lot of people, you know, where to gently shake the dust and then kind of leave it in God's hands. Maybe you planted the seeds. It's not ready to sprout yet. Mm-hmm. And somebody else will come along, but you've done your part there. So
I mean, sometimes all you can do is just let them know you're available. But you're right. I mean, how Christian are we? I'm a retired Marine. Okay, I know what you're talking about. How Christian are we when we try to force something down somebody's throat? Because I told you so, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is a beautiful recognition of our free will, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's because God doesn't force it. God always invites and allows and empowers, but He doesn't force His hand on us.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's amazing, because you and I both know, Bill, as dads, I mean, sometimes it's like, because we said so.
That's where the conversation stops. Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That's great.
Life would be easier then, huh?
Well, God bless you in your continued ministry. I know you've got your comps up for your degree.
Yeah, keep me in your prayers.
In canon law.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic, Bill. Thanks so much, man. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. God bless you guys. Y'all take care.
Thank you, Deacon.
You
all right.
too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We thank our sponsor, Ike's Beach Service, with locations in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Fort Morgan, and Perdido Key. Enjoy fun in the sun with Ike's Beach Services, including paddle boards, parasailing adventures, and beach equipment rentals. Visit ikesbeachservice.com or call 251-948-3757. Who's coming up on Monday, Mike?
Yes, on Monday, Joseph Pierce discusses the Chaucer Tales in a nutshell. Steve Ray talks about the upcoming pilgrimages to the Mediterranean, Lourdes, and Fatima. And Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse returns to promote and talk about the Summit for Survivors of the Sexual Revolution and what's going on with the American Medical Association, the scandal there.
Wow.
Hey, can I have a good weekend?
Sounds pretty intense.
Bad news at my house. Max got benched in the morning jog yesterday. My sister Kathleen's in town, said he was too slow.
Oh!
Yes.
Somebody!
everybody's aging.
I know. We had to put in the substitute.
What?
The younger.
His legs are so long.
The Labradoodle, she's younger and quicker.
Come
and
on.
Max had
that
a watch from the window.
That is embarrassing.
I told Max that.
Ellen, that is embarrassing.
I know. He sat in the air conditioning on the sofa. I think secretly he didn't care.
Wow.
I know.
All right. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. Have a great weekend. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.